Hey, take your Bibles and go to Genesis. Hard to find Genesis, huh? First book of the Bible, chapter 37. You know, sometimes we refer to people that are not Christians as unbelievers. And in one respect, that's true. They don't believe in God. But everybody believes something. They believe good. They believe bad. They believe God. They don't believe God. Everybody believes something, right? They just do. You know, you believe the seat will hold you when you sit down. You believe the car will start when you turn the key. You believe the light will go on when you flip the switch. You know, we believe all the time for things. We act upon things, and we have confidence in things so that we act upon them. But, you know, our concern and our desire should be to believe God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe. You know, all the promises and all the things that God says he'll do for us, is because he wants to have a relationship with us. In Ecclesiastes, it says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, that's the long and the short of it. And then Jesus Christ said the first and great commandment was to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So whatever God gives us, however he blesses us, whatever it is, it's really so that we can more carry out his will in life. And, you know, sometimes we get hit with things and we don't know where they come from. And we don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? We need to just keep our eyes on God. You know, sometimes God works things out that, you know, may look negative at first and turn out to be very positive. And, you know, it's not always just the simple blessings on top of blessings and everything's perfect all the time. But we keep our eyes on him. In chapter 37, verse 1, it talks about Joseph and Jacob and his son Joseph. So it says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherewith his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, coat of many colors refers to, you know, God, the father's blessing on the son, and him being, you know, the one that's going to receive he's going to be the head guy of the family. He's going to run the family and receive the main inheritance and all that stuff and be in control. So his oldest brothers, they didn't like that, because usually it would be in culture that the oldest brother got that position. But so this is the way it was. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They were pretty hateful guys. You know what's interesting? Judah's one of those guys, isn't he? And it's from the line of Judah where Jesus Christ came from. But, you know, just had nothing to do with Judah. It just was his line, what was going to come from him later on. So anyway, verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told to his brethren, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow ourselves down to thee, to the earth, and his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. So his father was taken back by it. You know, he's like, "Wow, what's this? We're gonna obey you. We're gonna listen to you," because that's again contrary to culture, and they didn't really understand what God was working in this situation. So, and his brother went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether they be well with the brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So not only did they hate him, but they decided to do something about it. I mean, they were going to kill him. That's not a good thing, is it? Now, you know, Joseph probably understood that his brothers didn't like him a whole lot, and yet he was willing to just obey his father and go and see where they were and bring word of them and all the other stuff. So anyway, verse 19, "And they said one to another, behold, the streamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what become of his dreams." You know, if we kill him, then his dreams can't come to pass, right? And then we're in good shape. "And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him." Reuben was the oldest son, right? And he delivered his brother. He prevailed against his other brothers. "And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Hey, we're not going to make any money out of this. We better get a better plan than just to kill him. Let's make some profit. And so come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now the Ishmaelites were actually their cousins, weren't they? Because their grandfather was Abraham, and Abraham had a son before he had Isaac, who was Ishmael. So these guys are actually the cousins of them. You know, now how, you know, if they were familiar with them or not, we don't know. But they were cousins. And so these guys bought them, and they took them down to Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, torn apart. And Jacob rent his clothes. He tore his clothes apart and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Wow. Now, I want you to go to chapter 39, but I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go to Psalm 1. You're all familiar with Psalm 1. Now, obviously, Psalm 1 was written long after Joseph lived, right? Because David wrote the psalm, I believe, and Joseph was a descendant of Judah, who was one of the brothers of Joseph, and Judah was long dead, and Joseph was long dead. But it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And, you know, if as we look at Joseph, whatever he did, he prospered, didn't he? Remember later on when Joshua was about to lead Israel into the promised land, what does God say to him? And he says, you know, if you keep your head in the word and you don't let it depart out of your mouth and you keep your eyes on me, you'll prosper whithersoever thou goest, right? So that's the point. You know, if we keep our eyes on God, if we stick to doing God's word, being thankful, he'll prosper us wherever we go. Whatever situation we get into, he'll prosper us. He'll take care of us. He'll protect us. Chapter 39, verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand." Okay, now in four verses, it tells us a lot of stuff. But it didn't just happen. You know, Joseph didn't just show up in Egypt. And all of a sudden the guy said, "Wow, this guy is cool looking, and I bet God is with him, and so I'm going to promote him and make him the steward of my house," and all this stuff. First of all, it took a while for them to get down to Egypt, right? So he was with this caravan of Ishmaelites, and they sold him into slavery to Potiphar, so there probably was a slave market, and they went there, and this guy needed another slave, and he, you know, bought him. And then Joseph was there, and he probably told this guy about his God, because it says that he knew the Lord was with him. How would he know the Lord was with him? He would have thought the gods were smiling on him, right? But he doesn't. It says that the Lord was with him. So Joseph must have let him know who his God was. And he must have been an example. You know, it's not the job he dreamed of. The job he dreamed of was he was going to be in charge of the family, right? That's what God showed him. God showed him that he was going to be the guy that inherited everything from Jacob, and he was going to be in charge. Yet, where does he end up? As a slave. And then he prospers. Why does he prosper? Because he kept his eyes on God. He kept believing God in this situation. Now, the situation wasn't very great, was it? It's like, oh, crap. What am I doing here? Well, he stayed positive. He kept looking at God, and he did his best for Potiphar. Think about that. He just did his best for Potiphar, And God promoted him. God promoted him in his eyes. You know, when we work for God, when we do for God, God magnifies us in the eyes of other people. So, how long did it take? I don't know. 2 weeks? Probably longer. 2 months? Probably longer. Maybe 2 years. I don't know. A while. But he worked hard and he did his best for this guy and he got promoted and he was made the steward of the house. Then it goes on to say, and it came to pass, verse 5, came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. How about that? And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know, when we work for somebody and we work for God, God blesses us, but he also blesses the people we work for. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. He didn't even know what he had anymore. He didn't concern himself. He was so confident in Joseph. He never checked his bank account, never took an inventory. Joseph took care of everything, and he got blessed. I'm going to read you something in Colossians. You stay where you are. But it says in chapter 3, verse 22 of Colossians. Serve and obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That's Joseph's life. You know, that's the way our life is supposed to be. We don't do it, you know, for the boss. We do it for God. And we do it heartily as unto God. And God takes care of us and God blesses us. Okay, verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. So what does she do? She's making a pass at him. She's trying to seduce him. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It wasn't sin against Potiphar, it was sin against God, you see? What a great thing to understand. It was sin against God. See, our life, no matter what we do, all the time is a witness for God. You know, we profess that we believe in God. So everything we do, everywhere, every bit of business we conduct in our life is a witness for God. You know, if we, you know, we let people know we're Christians, we let them know we believe. So then they see our lives. And they see whether it's genuine or not. Remember the poem that we used to hear, sermons I see rather than what I hear? You know, it's the sermon of life, you know, how we live our lives, how we conduct our lives, what we do. You know, it says in Ephesians, you know, that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, right? We're to walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling. You know, what does that mean? It's how we live, how we conduct our lives. It makes a difference. Not to be religious, you know, it's not that you come to fellowship every week on time and you look good and all that stuff and you say nice prayers at fellowship, but, you know, do you live your life? What's in your heart? You know, and if it's in your heart, well, then you're going to be at fellowship and say nice prayers anyway, but you're going to see the results in your life. Okay, so, you know, she does this whole thingamajig, and So in verse 20, it says, you know, the master finds out because the wife frames him. She rips his coat and takes a piece of his clothing and shows the husband, or shows one of the servants, gets her husband and says, he tried to get me, tried to rape me. And so she falsely accuses Joseph. Never tells us what happens to her later on, but I bet she got nervous. So it says in verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So, you know, it seems like, first of all, he gets taken by his brothers and thrown in a pit, and they want to kill him. But God preserves his life. He sends those Ishmaelites along, and they say, oh, well, we can make a profit. And so they sell him. So then he goes down to Egypt. He gets sold into slavery, and God prospers him, takes care of him again. And he gets promoted, and he's the overseer of the house. And then this woman falsely accuses him. He gets thrown in jail. And what happens in jail? He prospers again. Why? Well, he kept doing his best for God. Will God do any less for us? No, he won't. We just got to control our minds. We just got to look to him. We just got to hang tough and say, okay, I'm doing it for God. Keep your mind where it needs to be. Okay, so, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and the Pharaoh was wroth. It means he was really angry, pissed off, against two of his officers, against the chief of butlers and against the chief of bakers, and he put them in the ward and the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked the Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. Now again, you know, he got thrown in the jail. Do you think the guy in the jail promoted him and gave him charge of these guys the first week he was there? Or did he, you know, do what he was supposed to do in prison and impress the guy? And the guy realized, wow, this guy is pretty neat. And he can help me out here. So he does that. And so he's got these two guys, and he's in charge of them. And he says, why are you so sad today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Okay? And the chief butler told his dream, and Joseph said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, or out of this prison. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in a dream, and behold, I had three baskets on my head. And the upper basket there was all manner of baked meats and for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up the head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy fresh flesh from off thee. Wow, that was not so good as the first one. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Darn. I bet that hurt. You know, he went through a lot of stuff. And I bet Joseph might have had the thought, you know, I'm doing everything for God here. How come I'm not getting out of jail? How come I'm not getting back to my family? How come I'm not doing this or doing that? Where's God? You know, he had to have had to deal with that thought. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible to please God except by believing. And God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, God rewards us when we seek him. It's pretty simple. Joseph sought God. He continued to seek God, to please God, to serve God in every situation. So, chapter 40, verse... did we just read chapter 40?
Yes.
Okay, 41. We're not going to read the whole thing, but came to pass at the end of 2 years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. 2 years went by. So, you know, first he gets sold into slavery. Then he's down there. Then he's with Potiphar for a while. And then his wife, then he gets promoted. Then the wife falsely accuses him. Then he gets thrown into jail. He's there for a while. And then he does his, he interprets the dreams. And then he's still there for another 2 years. A lot of time has gone by. He started out, he was 17 years old. Imagine having all that happen to you when you're 17. Pretty amazing. And behold, there came up out of the river. Okay, this is the dream that Pharaoh dreamed. He said he stood by a river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine in fat flesh, and they fed the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the river. And then the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And he dreamed another dream, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. And then verse 9, it says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. Well, first Pharaoh calls his magician and says, somebody tell me what the dream says. And he says, we can't do that. So then the butler says unto Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in the ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And I dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there were with us a young man in Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted, so it was me, and me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself and changed his raiment, and he came unto Pharaoh. And then, of course, what happens? Pharaoh tells him, you know, his problem, and so Joseph then says, declares to him his dream. And in verse 20, it says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there cometh 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and famine shall consume the land. And plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. You know, and that's one of the principles we learn in the Word, right? When God says something twice, it's established. It's not going to change. If he says it once, it could change. If he says it twice, not going to happen. It's set in stone. Okay. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise to set him over the land of Egypt. You know, he didn't say, hey, here I am, Pharaoh, put me in charge, did he? Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to take a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years and let them gather all the food of those good years and come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let him keep the food in the cities, that the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto the servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Wow, pretty cool, huh? Who's making Joseph look big in the eyes of Pharaoh? God is. Yeah. Did Joseph have to blow his own horn? No. Did he have to promote himself? No. God did. Joseph just sought to serve God the best he could. He just did it. He did it with a smile on his face and the energy of what he was doing. He just wanted to serve God to the best of his ability. Where are we? Okay. 40. Thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word shalt all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So he was in charge of everything. You know, the same thing happened with Daniel, didn't it? You know, Daniel was taken into slavery into Babylon. And what did he do? He sought to serve God. He put God first, and so who promoted him? God. And so who was in charge of all the empire of Babylon? Daniel. Not just with Nebuchadnezzar, but then when the Medes and the Persians came in again and again, Daniel always ended up on top. You see, and it's just a matter of putting God first in your life. You know, you're serving God. You're not serving yourself. You're not serving man. You're serving God. And when you put God first and you look to put God as the reason for life in your everyday work and everything you do it for God. God promotes you. God takes care of you. God preserves you. God watches over you. Pretty amazing. You know, it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when we seek God first, when we put God first, we seek to glorify God first, he's going to take care of us. He's going to promote us. You know, and sometimes negative things may come up. Gee. Okay, so there's a recession. Is God bigger than the recession? Yes, he is. If you get fired or your company goes out of business, is God bigger than the company going out of business? Yeah. I remember when I was years ago, I lived in Delaware. I got a job with the oldest men's store in Philadelphia. I guess it was the oldest men's store in the United States. Jacob Reed's Son. You remember that? And it was, you know, really a good store and sold really nice clothes and everything. And I just thought, this store is here because I'm here. Because I needed a job God knew. And then after I left, eventually it went out of business. You know? And it was at a time, it was 1977, A couple of businesses closed. The first thing I got when I went there is, there's no jobs here. Nothing's going on. This is not a good place to move to. I got a good job. God blessed me, took care of me. You know, if you're doing for God, God's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. It's just, we got to keep our eyes focused. You can't get yourself talked out of things. You can't allow circumstances or situations to screw with you. You know, look at Joseph. His brothers hated him, wanted to kill him, threw him in a hole, you know, sold him into slavery. Then the guy that was his master put him in prison. And he ended up as the head of the greatest country in the world. He was in charge of everything. And what happened with that? Then he gets to deliver God's family, God's people,
his family,
and eventually sets it up so they can go back into the promised land and take possession of it like God had promised originally. He preserved the children of Israel through Joseph and preserved the believers' line through Joseph. Now, Joseph wasn't part of the believers' line, but he certainly participated in taking care of it, didn't he, and watching over it. So you can't look at circumstances. You got to keep your eyes focused on God. We believe God. You know, we just sang it twice. I believe God. Well, if you believe God, you believe God. You know, we have two options in life. We can believe or not. You know, that's always the choice we have. I'm going to believe God or not believe God. The circumstances don't matter. God's bigger than any circumstance. He's bigger than any situation. God's bigger than any person. God's bigger than any sickness. God's bigger than any catastrophe. God is bigger. We just have to look to Him and be committed to serving Him in our lives. So God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us and blessing us. For what a great and mighty God You are in that. As we read Your word, as we look at Your word, as we see those words that You've given us, we can understand that it's You that has called us to this calling and to this household, to Your family. And it's for the purpose of serving You and being Your sons and daughters so that we can bless You and love You and carry out Your will in our lives. And as we do that, we're going to get blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. Not according to the way we think about it, God, but the way You bring it to pass, which is 100 times better. So we just thank You for this day and for Your blessing us and for the prayer to continue on till this evening, that we can see answers to prayer, we can see deliverance, and we can see the greatness of Your word living in our lives. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.